What kind of British shit is this that we're calling calling cats saying that they make muffins?
That's what I always thought it was. They make muffins.
No, they make biscuits. They work at the biscuit factory.
In Italy, we say they're making pasta.
Well, that's because Italy doesn't have proper biscuits.
No, we have focaccia, and it's better.
That's wrong.
That's not a biscuit.
If I was craving like a southern biscuit and you handed me focaccia,
I'd be mad at you.
If you were craving a southern biscuit and you were in Italy, that's a you problem.
But like, no.
What about in southern Italy?
Hi, and welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 17 hours about the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16, Episode 13, Drag Race Vegas Live Makeovers.
What a
name.
Someone
down to a cool 90 minutes, send it straight to your ear holes. Now you can talk, toxic fans.
Hi!
There's two voices now.
Hi.
Who are you? Introduce yourself, toxic fans.
Deuce deuces.
Now you can talk, toxic fans.
Ally.
I say neither of us is named Valentina.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephen Pope. I'm your professional hobbit, your podcast dad. I'm going through it. Happy to be here. Missed you both very much, but you were adorable last week. We're joined by our beautiful and Jimbo-clad podcast co-host, David.
I actually don't know that because this isn't famously a visual medium.
I that's why I described it.
Thank you so much. Hi, I'm David Gorin. I saw Jimbo the drag clown last night, and she creamed with her titties in my mouth.
I'm going home.
And I think that Plain Jane having four wins on Drag Race just justifies all those twinks who say that if I could do drag, I'd totally slay Drag Race. And I don't like that. Jolie.
Wow, Jolie. First, you're supposed to say spoiler alert.
Again, I want to meet the person who doesn't watch the show but listen to our podcast. I want to meet them. I want to study them. I want to get a government grant to look into what goes on in their brain.
I mean, I genuinely don't know if this person exists. I kind of want them to. I kind of just want them to exist, but that was really just a joke for you two because I feel like at this point, a chunk of this podcast is inside jokes for us. That's also for our listeners. No, just me.
I don't know what you're talking about, sister.
Sister.
But anyway, so they're back in the workroom. What does that mirror say, David?
Okay, this one's gonna take a while, so I apologize. It says bye, heart, EXO, Dawn.
Literally, when me and David watched not this last episode, but the week before and Dawn got sent home, I literally looked at David and went, you can just write this down now. She did not write a long note.
No.
She was like, she's a woman of many faces, but not many words.
God, I know it wasn't likely, but I guess in my heart, I sort of expected her to make it to the top four.
Again, I am a firm believer that she could have made it to the top four. Had she gotten the doll win, she would have made it to the top four.
Agreed.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and now she's going to have to make it to the top four of an All-Stars season.
Well, you know what they say at this point, the dolls are the dolls.
And we're now leaving
the Valley of the Dawn. Saphira is happy to have four wins because she forgets that a lot of times queens with four wins don't win the show.
It's a curse.
It's a curse, someone could say. I think the only queen...
You didn't hear about that?
The
no.
only queen yeah. to have four wins and win, I think, is Sherry.
Yeah.
Oh, block that name out by using this sound.
You're a little mad I did that last episode, aren't you?
No, I liked it. That's why I told you to do it again.
Well, shouldn't it be... Wait, shouldn't it not be rat? Or shouldn't it be like, boo?
No, we don't want people to know that we're talking about that. Or them.
You can say their name. We now have a sound that we're going to use to block it out. Anyway.
We have two possible sounds.
No, we only have one. We have... Anyway, moving on.
Maybe
God, Joe, I get it. You're just trying to erase the cis male in the room.
You're not Which cis.
What cis male? Your cat?
Where are they? Yes, the cat left.
That's why he left.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Canceled.
I just didn't want the purring on the mic. Anyway. Moving onward.
This is not an ASMR podcast, but it could be.
Moving onward. Moving dawnward.
Yeah.
Plain Jane is like, now that I have another win and I've gotten over being sad last week, I don't plan to crack anymore.
Morphine doesn't know where the clavicle is.
She really doesn't.
Was she trying to say perineum? Perineum? Like, I'm trying to figure out what she thought was the bone she was going for. Like, where she could have gotten clavicle.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I just...
Joe, you killed David.
I just, like, was not... I mean, like, if you called it a taint, if you called it a famunda, if you called it a coffee table, I would have been like, yeah, okay, cool. Coffee table. You called it by its government name just took me out.
Look, perineum, season 17.
Oh.
But no, wait,
that's a good name.
No, you have to say David, it like, perineum.
David, you laughed harder at that than RuPaul laughed when he was telling Plain Jane that lazy season was funny and that she was winning this week. Jesus fuck.
It wasn't that funny.
It was one of those things where RuPaul laughed so hard that I went,
is she okay?
I get it. You just have to laugh when Plain does things because otherwise no one would find her funny.
Yeah.
Like, the issue with Plain Jane is that she's fine.
Yeah.
Like, she's utterly fine at most things. It's why the idea of Plain Jane winning is so boring to me. It's just like,
well, if great. The curse is correct, then Plain can't win either.
But like, it's one of those things where it's like, the idea of Plain Jane winning to me is truly just being like, what is she gonna do with the crown? Be the most fine drag queen?
The sailors say, Plain Jane, you're a fine queen.
Anyway, they get in the workroom the next day and they're playing Monopoly, RuPaul's Drag Race edition.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. I don't think that they did like a quick like shot on the board.
Yeah.
But considering we did play around before we started, wink. What piece do you think each girl was?
Oh, Safira was the purse.
So there are six pieces.
There's six pieces.
There are six pieces. We have It's Chocolate, which Hershey Liqueur Jetée came in just to play that one. You have a lipstick. You have the world's least interesting sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
You have a purse.
Oh, they're the reading glasses. That's what they are.
The world's most uninteresting sunglasses.
Yeah, but why didn't they, like... They could have done a cat eye glass.
You have the flag.
Yeah.
And then, what was the sixth one?
The duct tape.
Then you have duct tape.
Right,
I think based on this episode, Morphine was definitely duct tape.
Yeah, no, that
we'll get to tracks. That later.
You know, I think that... Plain was the flag because one of her catchphrases is God hates flags, but she does remove the owl.
No, God doesn't hate flags. Plain, her dad hates flags.
Plain Jane would be the first Drag Race winner to be openly homophobic.
Oh my gosh.
No, but
no, she could. Do you know what her reign could be?
What?
Her reign could be like bringing homosexuality to Russia.
Wasn't that what Sasha Velour did?
No.
I don't think either of them are allowed in the country.
Well, Sasha Velour, I think her family was...
Sasha Velour spoke Russian.
No, I think Sasha Velour was... I think her family was kicked out. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Anyway, people who weren't kicked out this episode are the five... RuPaul comes in and he brings out five dancers from Drag Race Live Las Vegas.
The pit crew dancers.
The pit crew dancers, God, who are going to be the makeover contestants.
When do I get to blow them?
No, this... So, one of the dancers...
I stole Joe from Katya. I'm not even apologizing.
One of the dancers is the twin brother of a trainer at the gym that I go to. And I felt actually insane looking at my television and going, it's Dawn, but it's off. Which is wild, because one of the other dancers looked like Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The contestant. And I was like, there's four Dawns.
I gotta talk.
None of them are here.
Yeah.
Is the Dawn in the room with us right now?
But it was genuinely, it was one of those things where I just kept staring at me like, I mean, Dawn was a dancer for Kesha, but that's not him. Nope. But I literally, like, looked up the dancer's name on who he's following on Instagram and found it was like, okay, yeah, they're related.
It's true. Okay. It's true. Joe actually chronicled their descent into madness in the group text chain. Yeah. It was great.
I was very confused. I felt truly insane in a way that I was just like, I was like, what is happening? What is happening? Anyway, they have to pull balls out of a pink furry box to be assigned dancers. Mm-hmm. Q gets the yellow ball, which Nymphia is very upset about, and the dancer
Sebastian
tears off his pants to reveal yellow underwear. They were white when they started.
Oh, Sebastian. Oh gosh. So beefy. Mm. So handsome. So
It's one of those things where I fully I'll go through, and then next up we had Nymphia who pulled the pink ball, which was
Jonathan.
Then I believe Morphine pulled a green ball. That Miguel. Was. And then.
Because she's a bruja and gets what she wants.
Because she's a literal witch. And then we had Saphira and Mark. Plain Jane.
Nick.
Sorry. So we had Saphira and Plain Jane double fisting the box. You guys are
two in the pink.
Which is a thing that Morphine's very used to, and they pull out a red ball. Saphira pulls out a red ball. Say the name of the person.
Saphira pulls out Mark, a.k.a. not Dawn.
It was very confusing. And then,
it's like Dawn on tea.
No. Not Dawn as in my Dawn. And then Plain pulls out the blue ball, which is
Nick,
a.k.a. not Dawn. But
oh my god, I just got it.
I am having a stroke over here. I have such a headache from this.
Okay, so let me just explain. I'll make it real quick. Nick is not Dawn, D-A-W-N. The contestant. And Mark is not Dawn, D-O-N, the berries instructor.
And berries? It's important to the gym I go to, babe.
How did
please keep up.
Where have you been?
We gave you the caffeinated beverage so you could be awake for this.
You two are also just like awful. And we're not awful. Like berries is like part of Joe's personality.
I've never asked Joe what gym they go to.
You don't even need to ask.
No, I do.
It's an offer.
I do bring up berries in regular conversation. It's a problem, and I will not apologize for it. Just like how Nymphia didn't and shouldn't apologize for wearing yellow. Anyway, moving on, we get into all the boring parts of the episode, which are they talk to their contestants.
Wait, you're forgetting one thing.
Oh, they sit directly behind sewing machines and don't sew anything.
You're forgetting one other thing.
Okay, what?
So there are two important things for this challenge.
Oh, they're going to be dancing.
They have to have a choreographed dance moment and strong family resemblance, whatever the fuck that means.
Whatever they decide for this specific episode. Yeah,
precisely.
But also, I wouldn't call the dance important because I don't think the only thing the dance mattered for was that Saphira had to change her outfit because they had to dance. But like, the dance was not important.
It wasn't until it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Who was the dance important for?
The dance was important because it was to say, yeah, Q, because it genuinely fucked over Morphine.
Yeah, no, it was quite literally, we don't care about this, but we will bring it up if it will justify putting you lower.
Exactly.
That's not what fucked up Morphine.
No, it wasn't.
I was like, no one placed low because of the dance, and no one placed high because of... Arguably, you could say that Plain maybe placed high because of the dance, because there was certainly nothing about her runways that should have placed her high. Mm-hmm. But, like... Also, the issue with Plain is like, yeah, she did well because of the dance, but her partner did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Like, her partner did a middle split that was incredible, but Plain didn't do that. I also want to say, I vividly do remember, I did immediately remember Plain's dancer from seeing Drag Race Live.
No, that's cool.
He's been in it, but he's also like the hairy one on stage.
Yeah.
Which helps you remember him.
Fair.
But like,
body hair helps.
He also was the one who made out with Naomi in the Drag Race Live TV show.
Oh.
Oh.
A clip circulated.
I was about to say, I was like, that is memory. Because I feel like
I never watched that one.
No one did.
Oh, I did.
Really? Why?
Because it was COVID and I didn't want to watch Love is Blind.
Did you only watch it because of that part where Silky comes in and they refer to her in caption as Vanjie's roommate?
Oh, that's so mean.
That is the one. The two things I know about the show are that Naomi made out with not Dawn from this episode. Mm-hmm. And Silky is labeled in a Chiron as Vanjie's roommate.
That's
which
so
is
shitty.
Genuinely cruel, but also hilarious.
No, I watched it because, like, at the end of the day, I did like all the queens that were on it because it was a good cast. It was Cameron. It was Vanjie.
Evie?
Evie wasn't on it. It was Cameron, Vanjie.
Naomi.
Derek, Naomi.
Jada, right?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, my God. What's her name?
I thought Evie was on it.
No, Evie was not on it. What's her name?
Oh, Priyanka.
No, she wasn't on it either.
Kana.
No, she's a host.
Asia.
Yes.
And there was one more.
Was there?
I thought there were six. And I thought the sixth was Evie.
I don't think it's Evie.
Okay. No, I'm
going to double check.
I'm bored of this conversation. None of these people are appearing in this episode.
Joe, you're going to be bored of this entire episode because hate the makeover episode.
So I famously hate the makeover episode for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
I think that the makeover episode is the one every year where nothing you do matters. It is all about building narrative. Whoever wins the episode is just whatever weird decision we've made about who wins every time, except for the person who has the most creative makeover cannot win, no matter
Absolutely
what.
Not.
I wouldn't say that this was necessarily the one where they should have won, though people saying that they should have lip-synced is crazy.
I do want to talk about that.
I agree with the bottom two of this episode.
Agreed.
But we'll get there.
You were correct. It was Evie Oddly, but the one that we all forgot, Aiden Zane?
Aiden what?
Aiden Zane was like a main cast member on
Apparently.
The show. I didn't watch the show, so that's on you.
Wow, that's insane.
You subscribed to her OnlyFans and you forgot that she was in a TV show you watched?
Let me put it this way. I subscribed to her OnlyFans and I did not care that she ever got into drag because all I ever cared was her taking her clothes off.
In fairness, I went to DragCon and she had a very spooky booth. No one was there.
Ooh.
I guess you could say it was a ghost town.
Including her. It was just an empty booth that said Aiden Zane.
Can I tell you one of my favorite booths that I ever saw at DragCon?
Shoot.
Jasmine
Masters.
Gotta fill
this episode with something.
Jasmine Masters was literally like a signing table that had two very boring t-shirts behind her. And she was just there. That was her booth.
Well, I think Jasmine Masters famously says that she like... No, Nina Bonita Brown's the one who's like famously, I will go to DragCon and I'll just hawk merch around and I won't pay any fees.
All I'm going to say,
which I actually am obsessed with.
All I'm going to say is that great. What you were wrong about is that Jasmine Masters has something to say.
Also, I do think that, I think that it was weird that we couldn't just get five gay makeover contestants. Like, I don't know what it is, but the fact that they were like, and one of them straight, as if that's interesting.
But they didn't say that. It came out organically.
Yeah, but why didn't they just get... Do they not have five gays who are dancers on Drag
it's
Race
possible.
Live?
It's possible. I don't know. How many dancers are there on Drag Race Live?
I don't... You've seen it more than I have. I don't remember. But I'm just like... There's something very interesting to me about Drag Race specifically, where I do think they should make a stronger point of hiring queer people for... the roles. Like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's the same thing I kind of
agree with that.
It's kind of the same thing I have about, like, Bryce being the most consistent pit crew member, is I'm just like, this is something we could have hired a gay person for. And it is, I think, just an interesting thing that Drag Race doesn't necessarily make any point in trying to make sure that, like, they're hiring queer people for, like, these over-sexualized things that they do.
I completely disagree with you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You're allowed to be wrong.
I don't think it's about being wrong or right. I think it's the fact that it's like, at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is it boils down to a couple of things for me. I think that at first, the thing that you always have to remember with TV shows is that it is rare that a TV show comes onto the scene already a hit. That nothing has to do anything and it's just going to be like a million people are watching it. Drag Race built up. Bryce has been there forever, so at the end of the day, he just might have been one of the few people.
I think it's weirdly important to just note that Bryce entered the show when it was already a hit.
Really?
Yes. Jason and that guy with the mustache were the people through, I think, season six, which is, the show was a veritable hit when they had brought Bryce on.
Okay.
Bryce started season 9 or 8.
I think he's 8. And like, again, I like Bryce. I don't mind Bryce, but I think that in general, it's just always one of those things where it's like, yeah, you could, in an industry that does not in a world that doesn't prioritize hiring gay people, I just think it could be good and smart. And I don't even think, oh, Drag Race Live should only have gay dancers, but they at minimum have one more dancer than this, because they're not going to have an odd number of dancers. They have an even number for like symmetry. And I just wonder if there wasn't a fifth person they could have had who would have been queer. Just because I do think that, like, when you're giving them the opportunity to be on the TV show, like, oh yeah, just like uplift queer voices when you can. And that's just a personal preference of mine. It's similar to occasionally they'll have someone on who like is both clearly straight in a dancing role and not a great dancer. And it's like, did we not, and I don't mean Bryce in this one. Again, I don't necessarily mind Bryce as much as I mind other people when it comes to this, but I don't know. I just think that it's something that I find interesting. There's a weird obsession with like heterosexuality on Drag Race sometimes that I don't personally love.
I'll say this. I think that part of a hair of the drama is the putting a straight person into drag, which whether that is right or wrong is a whole other can of worms. But I think that there is something that does bring drama to it. Because it's one of those things where I feel like, I'll say this. I think it's a couple of things. One, with the pit crew member, I think it just depends on, like, you willing to get naked? You willing to get sexualized? Cool, you got the job. And it wouldn't shock me if, like, the difference between a gay guy and a straight guy doing it is that the straight guy might be weirdly less drama. That's thing number one. Thing number two is, in a case with the dancers, it wouldn't shock me if it's just kind of like, who is available? Who wants to do this? Okay, you five, and one of them just happened to be straight. But like, I definitely think that they have done stuff where they have uplifted queer voices. I mean, they've done lesbians, they've done gay military men. They've done, like, it's not like they've never done it before.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, and I will also say that in the last several makeover episodes we've had on main series Drag Race, a lot of, like, it is a lot of the time, specifically non-queer people who are getting
that is
over.
True. That
like
is
we've
true.
Gotten a lot, like we've gotten a lot of women being made over who are implicitly not queer women, which I just again think that I like the lesbian episode because I like the idea that we're bringing queer women into the fold. But I just think that like it's the same thing as we got Maddie Morphosis before we got
a cis woman.
Woman on the show
or main drag season. King on, or...
But I think we got Maddie before we got Victoria.
No, Victoria was before.
I believe they were actually the same year.
No, I think I'm like Maddie is season 14, Victoria is UK 3. Both of them are the year after COVID, so they were same year.
But I think UK 3 came out before.
Yeah,
they would have filmed about the same time. Fair. but
like either way, like even again on main season, we're like The UK seasons do occasionally more stuff. We still have not gotten a bearded queen on a main season. We still have not gotten a lot of these things. And I just think that, again, it's just something that I notice. And I think is a conversation that I'm happy to have. And I don't, and it's not even one of those things where it's like, I'm mad at you, David, for having a different opinion. I don't think that at all.
I don't think anyone thought that. I think that absolutely, I mean, listen, there's stuff we can talk about. I have 3 pages of notes, shockingly.
I cannot believe you have 3 pages of notes for
this episode. It's also a smaller notebook. But I will say that, you know, I think that this discourse is probably more interesting than, Nick, not Don, D-A-W-N wants to be a hot, sexy slut.
Yeah, I don't
think it's that.
I
think this discourse is way more interesting.
Can we talk about my favorite part about having a straight guy on, which is, do you remember what his favorite, who his favorite drag queen is?
Oh, Plastic Tiara.
Yes.
The idea of a straight man's favorite drag queen being Plastique is camp, and I am obsessed with that.
It is very, very camp.
Wait, why is it camp?
It's just very funny to be like, you know what my favorite type of drag queen is? The one who is so hot she made an OnlyFans as a girl.
The one who is just, they break non-binary in a way that's just magnificent.
I love Plastique, but it's so funny to be like, my favorite type of drag queen is literally just the hottest woman you've ever seen.
Fair. I know, it's just funny because I was going to say, like, I think that part of the reason why I was like, I'm curious to know as to why that's camp and funny is because I feel terrible saying this. Plastique is my pee break.
Really?
Whenever Plastique is performing, I just, like, I've seen her perform. I think she's absolutely stunning. I think she's such a gorgeous drag queen. Her performance does nothing for me.
Hey, fair. That's your opinion, man. Yeah.
I can just hold it through an entire drag show. I'm not like other girls. I only pee when I have to.
I'm not like other girls. I do my kegels.
I'm not like other girls. I've never peed before.
I am sorry for your bladder. Sloshing.
I'm not like other girls. I'm a 33-year-old man.
I'm not like other girls. I'm non-binary.
Yeah. Wait, you're not a girl.
Pope, you're 33?
Yes, sweetheart.
And yet, you're not like other girls. You're daddy. Anyway.
Still uncomfortable with that.
As I say, you're not a real woman either.
Yeah,
so we start looking at some looks. Okay. Saphira has some very heavy geode-inspired looks. How did Saphira pack an 60 to 80 pound garment?
I don't know how the fuck she packed any of this stuff.
Where
this
did
point.
She? Did she?
Where is she pulling the stuff out of?
I know.
Like how expensive was her luggage?
I can't imagine.
Like, or even shipping it. How expensive? Did she just have people make these things in Los Angeles so she could pick them up? Like, what? How?
Here's what I'll say. I feel like if many of the stuff was inflatable. So if it's inflatables, they don't weigh much.
No, but.
But not even the motors.
60 to 80 pound geode piece.
It was stunning. It's beautiful. You could have never fucking worked with that.
I'm curious what it looks like. Because I didn't like. I'm curious what the full look was because I wasn't a big fan of when she was just wearing that trying to dance.
Yeah.
But I was like, I understand this is not the full fantasy.
So what I believe it is the geode thing she was wearing is sort of an undergarment for the actual thing. I'm sure she'll post it on Instagram soon.
Yeah. So we're going through all the people. Q's person is really reserved and shy, and Q's like, well, don't worry. That means I'm going to do well in this episode, because whenever someone says that, the person who makes them over, no matter how poorly they do, they still do well. Looking at you, Wintergreen.
Then we had Nymphia's guy, who we said is straight and married, but it was just funny because...
To an Australian, no
to
less.
To an Australian, but it was just kind of funny because Nymphia was like, so what kind of guys do you like? And he's like, I'm straight.
No, he's like, I thought it was, she was like, I bet that you're like really... You're really butch in real life, so we have to femme you up. He's like, well, I am. He was like laughing about it. He's like, yeah, kind of. And she was like, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, well, I'm straight. And he was like, oh.
This kills the Nymphia.
Yeah, he almost kicked. Yeah. Like, she like falls over.
Nymphia's very upset about this.
Yep.
They gave me the heterosexual. I'm doomed.
Morphine's guy has worked with a lot of like the Puerto Rican girls, like Jessica Wilde. And she's very excited because she can't form coherent sentences around this man.
Oh, God. She just wants his penis.
Her anus is fully dilated.
She's like, you don't need to talk. Just put it in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
they could have been Siamese twins.
No. That was season 7. We're not doing that one again.
I would do that again. I thought that was funny.
It was funny until it wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny the entire time. I think there's no part of that that was bad.
That was 8 years ago.
I'm like, is there did anything else happen day one? Oh, we have a Plain Jane telling RuPaul that she's naming her girl Lazy Susan, and RuPaul laughs for literally the longest uninterrupted laugh break she's ever done on the show.
She's laughing she's laughing for so long, Plain Jane looks uncomfortable.
I mean, it's a good name, but it's not that good.
I mean, it's a fine name.
Yeah, it's good. It's
like,
fine.
It's a little out of left field. It's one of those things where it's like, she laughed, like, I laughed in the theater of, like, Girls Trip when the grapefruit scene happened. Like, I don't think I... There are so few things that have ever made me laugh that hard, and none of them have been a single one-line joke that a person poorly delivered. RuPaul laughs so hard.
And for so long, and it's so weird. It's weird and uncomfortable and, like, I don't get it.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then Safira...
11 drag kids.
You know, she got those birthing hips. That's why she's slew foot. They're just flopping out at this point.
I was about to say, she has a zipper.
But no, so what was the original name she was going to name her kid?
I don't even
Diabetica
remember.
Or something? No.
Well, I was going to say, the one thing that, the thing that was kind of funny is that actually Safira's guy is also slew foot.
Yeah.
I don't remember what she was going to name her, but,
But RuPaul's like...
No.
Name her something that I can say. Yeah. And it's like, name her Shakira. And Safira's like, okay.
I'm not going to argue.
In any way in keeping with my crystal-themed naming convention. Yeah. But okay.
Well, no, it's because of last week.
Well, yeah. That's why I thought it was insane. He was like, name her Sequoia or Shakira. And I was like, wait.
Sequoia.
I was like, are you literally just being like, name your drag daughter a persona you did in a challenge last week?
And not even a persona that she did last week, a joke that Plain Jane made last week.
Sequoia was the persona. She said Sequoia first. She said Sequoia.
It doesn't matter. It's just terrible life advice.
No, I was going to say, the character's name was Sequoia, but I don't think RuPaul picked up on that.
No, RuPaul says, name it Sequoia or Shakira.
No. I'm hearing you. I'm just saying that I don't think that RuPaul realized that her character's name in the challenge was Sequoia, because in the judging, she flat out said, oh, I thought it was really funny that you kept calling Safira different names like Sequoia or Shakira.
Maybe RuPaul's not that bright. anyway,
you know what? Leave Grandpa alone. Leave Grandpa alone.
Is that the house? Is that what the House of Hidden Meeting is about?
Anyway, moving on. We then get into like a choreo session where... the dancers are basically just doing all the choreography, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my favorite thing about it is when you get to watch it later and you know that the dancers just assigned the same choreography to both girls, mm-hmm. and no one does the choreo perfectly.
Yeah.
No. Not a single one of the queens matches their dancer.
Nope. Because this doesn't fucking matter until it does.
Plain has the least choreography.
Yeah.
Well, Plain's choreography ends halfway through and then she just stands and poses while the guy does stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we also forgot that the dancers do a walk-off in heels.
Yeah.
Okay, they do that literally every
week. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, we hit all the beats. We come in the next day and we get a shaving montage.
Ooh, shaving.
I need to talk about this. I need to talk about this. Because Plain might be a psychopath. Plain might be unhinged. Because what she does to Manly Dawn is going to haunt me. What? So
she just shaves the titties.
She shaves Dawn's chest, neck, chin, like everything from the tit up, but leaves the tummy fuzzy. And it is the weirdest thing. And I'm just like,
it looks
odd.
She didn't have time. She didn't care. I think the wildest thing is Q being like, and we need to shave your eyebrows. And he's like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
I thought that was a joke.
It was very fun. I was like, Q, you don't have.
It was hard to tell. Honestly.
It's impossible to. I don't believe it was a joke because I don't believe Q knows how to tell one of those. She wasn't doing her silly black sense, so how could we know it was a joke?
People are so
mad
about
that. Wait,
are
you just telling me it doesn't make sense?
I love you. I know.
I will say I think the funniest part of this episode was her calling Plain Jane's eyebrows oatmeal-y. And Plain's reaction is like, okay. She's like, she truly reacts like, oh my God, Q is my little brother who came into the room while I was making out with my girlfriend because I'm totally straight, and started saying weird things. Like, she truly is just like, yeah, Q, I get it, cool.
I'm kind of upset that she didn't just like stop doing the makeup and turn to her and go, why are you such a cunt?
Full circle. Well, would have been nice.
I don't think that Plane is, I don't think Plane is clever enough to capitalize on the beginning of this season.
No.
Fair. Totally random.
Also, you never know what's going to be in the edit, so there's absolutely a chance that fully gets edited out.
Fair. One thing that's totally random, but I like realized this, and it's funny because she hasn't talked about it in weeks. But one thing that I just kind of find interesting is like how much, is just kind of how much like Plane really is stealing from Jimbo. Because last night when I saw Jimbo, I completely forgot about the character that she did with Stinkfinger. And it's basically just like Stinkfinger and Burgerfinger. Like,
that hadn't happened by the point that this filmed. Because okay. Stinkfinger happened during during
All-Stars.
Yeah.
And this filmed in the early weeks of All-Stars. Okay. So RDR Live had likely recorded, but that was like late June at that point, mm-hmm. and that wouldn't have aired yet.
Okay.
So it wouldn't have at least aired by the time they started.
Fair. It's just like, there's just like, it's just interesting that there's a lot of just like, you know.
There's a lot of comparisons again, to be made.
I don't think that Plane is the most clever girl. I think that Plane was talking a lot about how she came out pretty late in life. She's actively still in college while pursuing drag.
Which is surprising. Very humanite.
Well, like, it's one of those things where I'm going to say this.
Go for it.
I understand where Plane currently is, which is that she's in that phase where she's kind of newly gay, newly out, and she's experiencing a lot of life for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's cool. It's chill. It's far out. Nixon's a fascist. Give peace a chance. But it's also just kind of like, yeah, you're going to be a different person in a couple years and I'll probably like you more. The person you currently are is that part of you that's like, still having a little bit of struggle with your own femininity, yeah. and being messy, and you're probably like still quite internally homophobic because you haven't worked through it yet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I get it. We've all been there. I just don't find it to be super compelling reality TV, and I hope she grows out of it soon.
It's something I find very interesting about her, and I'm glad you brought it up because she has not been out very long.
No.
Like,
she's also 25. I think it's really important to note that she acts like a 22-year-old. She is 25.
No. And I want to talk about the delayed mm-hmm. adolescence a lot of queer people have mm-hmm. because I came out at 22, effectively. 22, 23. I can't remember what I officially landed on. But, you know, I was bi now, gay later, all that stuff. A lot of stuff that happened for teenagers happened to me in my 20s. And that was a lot of growth happened.
Yeah.
And Plane clearly hasn't had that yet. So it does make me hate her significantly less.
I mean, I never... It's one of those things where it's like, I've never hated Plane.
No, she's television. I just like, find her she's a character. Really, what do you want me to do?
Boring. Like, Plane Jane is... She's like Jessica Alba. She's pretty, but in a very beige way.
Fair. Totally random. But the thing that I kind of find funny about Plane, and this is solely Plane as a boy... Plane acts 22, is 25, reads 32.
Listen, accurate. As someone else with not the best skincare routine and eyebrows for days, I'm giving her a break.
No, it's not a dig or anything. It's just one of those things where when she was like, I'm actively still in college, I was like, how old are you?
She's, you know, it's just one of those things where she's Gen Z and Gen Z is aging like milk.
Oh!
Joe! Johannesburg!
Wow.
It's the
Josephina!
Thing, it's the thing we've been saying on the internet a lot. Millennials look our age, and Gen Z also looks our age.
Oh my god.
You are going to get us so many... People are going to throw stuff at me. I'm the slowest one here. I'm the one that's going to get hit. Let's be real.
But anyway, it's one of those things where... I don't know, it was a very humanizing moment, and yeah. I fully understand Plane's struggle.
Yeah.
I just, again, it makes me go, I desperately need you to not win because you're so not ready mm-hmm. to be the face of anything.
No.
And also, you're going to be so interesting in a couple of years.
Well, the other thing that I will say is that, like,
wasn't funny when I was Plane's level of not out of the closet. Like,
fair.
There's a weird point where you, like, kind of are figuring out how to tell a gay joke, but, like, you're still saying sister, like sister.
Sister.
I think that's an tally mark.
I kind of just want to meet her just so I can walk up to her and be like, sister.
No, there's literally, there are so many videos of them hanging out before the season aired where they, where whenever Plain Jane pops into the video, they go, sister.
Yeah, that's by the amazing way, the sister with a hard R count for this episode was 4.
Wow.
Amazing. Love.
I'm keeping
count. But one thing that was interesting, as we are kind of, you know, ping-ponging around, is that besides, you know, making her guy a hairless tit, she and Nick have a lot in common, because apparently Nick was like going to college for something completely different.
Yeah. Nick came also came out
he
late.
He came out late. He was convinced that he was just going to be in the closet his entire life and never come out. And then he had a near-death experience and was like, life is too short, and came out of the closet and said, I'm going to finish my degree, but then I want to become a hoofer.
He was walking behind Jinx Monsoon when they both in tandem got hit by a fucking car.
Heckety, was heckety,
because,
heckety.
As I say, was it because Jinx Monsoon was like, come to my room?
I mean, maybe. You know, when did coming out in your 20s start being like coming out late in life? I'm curious about that.
I mean, I think there's a weird level of, it just depends on who you are. There, because like I would call coming out in college to be late in life.
Yeah.
But I would also call like, I would say anytime.
But college
after,
isn't late in life. College is, you're barely, yeah, but, an adult. Your, yeah, brain's, but, not done forming.
Sure, but you're out as straight by the time you're 15. Like, yeah, if you're a straight person, you're not in any way hiding any of that in your high school years.
That's
so
true.
I would consider, yeah, coming out, especially like deeper into college, I would consider coming out a little, yeah, bit late in life.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, as you were saying, 15. I would even say younger, because I would say like you're probably hitting puberty around 12, 13. And that's kind of when you start realizing like what you're. I mean, I know that there are people who are like, oh, I was attracted to women when I was 6 years old, whatever.
Weirdos.
But I think that it's one of those things where it's like when you start.
That was actually an impression of David as a 6 year old being in love with Courtney Love.
I was not in love with Courtney Love when I was 6. I was in love with the Pink Power Ranger. There is a difference. Anyways.
In fairness, like she served.
She's awesome. Also totally random. I realized not that long ago that like one of my first like straight crushes was a very young Elizabeth Moss.
That is so you.
Yeah. Anyways, she was on the Disney Channel version of Escape to Witch Mountain.
I'm resisting so many gross jokes. Anyway, moving on.
I'm proud of you.
I had a point. Okay. I'm so sorry. But I will say that I think that once you hit puberty, like, is when you're kind of going, you're deciding which road you're traveling down, whether it's going to be cishet norm or things are going to be a little different for me and I'm going to take the bumpier road. And so I do think that actually I agree with coming out in your 20s is slightly later in life, because I feel like, I think that we're probably of the last age group where I would say, like, I'd probably say like anyone born after 95 is definitely like, because I remember that when I got to college, there was a gay kid in my high school and he was like out and proud and no one would have been out in my high school prior to that.
I get that.
I think that it's weirdly like the Glee generation where it was like, you know, come out wherever you are, come out at 12.
I mean, there's a really interesting thing of like, I came out at 14 and David, you would have been in college at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like us being just slightly a few years different from each other does make a lot of difference.
It does.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that there is just a level of like, you know, coming out at in your own time is all fine. Like the other thing is it's all about like your upbringing and religious trauma and all these things can manifest in different ways that like it's totally fine to come out late in life. And we, yeah, all go through all of these steps. The thing that I think is just interesting when it comes to someone like Plain Jane is that I can very clearly see exactly. And like I've thought for a while, it's like Plain probably came out pretty late. And it's like she says it and I can very clearly see when she says, I didn't really get in touch with my femininity until I started doing drag. I was, mm-hmm, like, yeah, I can see that. I can see that very specifically in how you do drag and how you interact with people as a boy.
Yeah.
Speaking of how people interact as a boy versus a girl, Q's girl gets incredibly savage the second she puts that weird white face paint on her.
I love this. I love that she turns into a head-spinning demon.
She is going full Wintergreen. Oh, she becomes great. Shady. She's reading her sisters on the other end of the room.
Are you going for Beauty and the Beast?
You're mimes, right? Stop talking. You can't talk.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to the top. And then you just... They don't even have a camera on her. And it just... It's full pheromone. You don't love me. Somewhere you've never been.
Yeah. So one thing that we did forget to talk about... That we touched on at the beginning of the episode was Nymphia's tucking school.
Oh, God. No. Oof,
I
no.
did not like this. No, I didn't.
That
like
dancer it. Wanted to die.
Well, it's was what she was saying was like you like. We like pull, so the, I, the hide the balls and then
the
take.
Premise is that your balls came from somewhere. And so you put them back where they came from, and then you tape around it. That's my understanding. I've never tucked. I've only ever done the Monster Mash. But it's, I'm like, have you guys tucked?
No.
I've tried once. It didn't go well.
Did you put duct tape on your entire penis when you tried it? Oh,
God. There's morphine. A lot of what hair down there.
No, you are supposed to shave before you tuck. Okay. Oh. Trinity says this in her season song. 9. Or All Stars 3, where she brings up, I think it's season 9, because she's like, you were supposed to shave last night. We're doing it anyway.
So that's why it went wrong for me. Let's move on before I die.
Wait, I just, one quick
Pope,
question.
I just need to, just to anyone listening.
Yes.
If you're trying tucking for the first time.
Shave it. Shave all of it.
And you didn't shave beforehand, and you find yourself with duct tape on your pubes, and you need to get it off, please remember that duct tape is water soluble. And if you take a shower, it will loosen it at least a bit. And you won't be trying to wax worse than they did in 40-year-old Virgin.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
So, just weird question. I'm genuinely Clarkson? Curious. Yeah, that's the thing he screams.
Mm. Oh, I've never seen 40-year-old Virgin.
Yeah, shocker of the decade.
I just know that the person who they hired to play that role... lied to them and said she was a professional waxer and had never done it before. And that, so all of his reactions are very genuine because they're doing it wrong. And there's a part where she's about to wax his nipple. And one of the PAs who had their chest waxed had to stop her because she didn't put Vaseline on the nipple and almost ripped his nipple off.
Steve Carell almost lost a nipple.
Oh my God.
And speaking of Steve Carell, we never talk about this.
We never talk about Steve years. Carell. RuPaul is actually Steve Carell out of drag.
I don't agree with that. But anyway, we've never talked about RuPaul's looks before.
Never. Never, you know, not once. We've never done this. We've never done this. I'm going to be so vulnerable. I'm going to be so, like, real.
I won't be able to talk about this look because I forgot what it looked like.
Oh, it was a watermelon lifesaver.
No, it was not a watermelon lifesaver.
Don't say it.
It was sexy Barney.
I hate you so much.
It was like an off-the-shoulder number that was purple with green stripes down it.
Oh,
it
was sexy Barney. Just trying to traumatize Michelle. And our guest judge this week is
Kelsey Ballerini.
What is a Kelsey Ballerini?
I was gonna ask you two this.
Okay.
Why would I know? She doesn't
know. You two know everything.
Okay, actually, it's funny because at first I was like, Kelsey Ballerini, that's random.
I didn't know your disco needs you until this very moment.
Anyways, Kelsey Ballerini is a cunt. She's a country singer.
She's a cunt?
No, she's not a cunt. She's a country singer, and she's actually really shockingly prominent in the drag community right now.
Okay,
because cool. Last year when they did...
Was she the one who was, like, actively bringing drag queens on yes. stage during the drag bands?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. I know yes. exactly yes.
Okay.
Yes. Immediately.
She's allowed to sit. She can sit with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah. So, basically, she was doing that, and she was very much doing it as... It wasn't like, I got drag queens. She was very much doing it as an act of defiance. Hmm. And she said that she has never gotten so much shit or hate on the internet, and that after that, she was just like... She was like... She's like, I always respected drag queens, but I respect you guys even more because the shit that I was getting is probably not even a third of the shit that you guys get on a daily basis.
Between this and Beyonce doing a country album, do the gays own country now?
I mean, I feel like we were slowly, like, inching up when Orville Peck hit the scene.
Mm. Good to know.
I love that people were like, oh, you didn't have silver, but all you gays have assless chaps. And it's like, I wonder why.
All chaps are assless.
Yeah.
That's just how chaps work.
Yeah, except for chapped lips.
God, I need to get some lip balm.
Wait, which of your lips are chapped? Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, your name is Lipschitz.
Anyway, first up on the runway is Q and her daughter,
Luna.
Which, is why Luna? Is Luna your favorite letter of the alphabet? Because it's mine.
I mean, I guess you wouldn't want to call her R.
I heard someone say it should have been A, and she should have been Q and A.
Like, oh, that would have been great. Good.
Also, or it could have been like a different, it could have been like Zeta and done Greek alphabet if you didn't want to just do another letter. She could have been Z.
Aleph.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know if she was Jewish though.
But like there are other things she could have picked. Again, I just don't think Q is the most creative. These looks are
Club Kid-tastic.
I love them.
I don't like it.
I love them.
I don't like the hair I don't like the hairy moles that's growing out of things. I think she's worn these tights before.
These, like, zebra
She's done another. I feel like she did another look that had the hair sticking out of tights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just felt familiar to me, and I didn't like it. Anyway, I don't love this as a makeover, personally. Because I don't think, when I think of Q, I don't think of this, like, kind of insane vibe.
No, I really don't think of this mime sort of thing either.
No, I don't either.
I do love the fact that the material on this jacket for Luna is the same on Q's jacket. I think that gives them a nice sort of synergy, and I do see it. She goes in such a weird direction, though, because it's like, I'm not a great makeup artist, so I'll just do fucking buck wild for both of us.
And, like, I also thought it was weird. So I thought she should have had the makeups be mirrored.
Yeah.
But I have a theory. I have a theory.
Bunnies?
Bunnies aren't just cute like anybody supposes. No, I have a theory that when she painted her drag daughter's face, when she painted Luna's face, she messed up the lip liner. And instead of redoing it, did the same thing on herself. Because there's all these, like, little kind of fuck-ups in the makeup that are perfectly replicated on Q. And I genuinely wonder if she used her lack of makeup skills to her advantage.
I think she did.
Because I thought it was really cool. There's also some, like, very weird shading she does on the neck that I think actually looks really good. I really liked the face. And she does her signature wigs, which is to say bad.
Yeah.
put her in some ugly wigs. I didn't dislike this. It wasn't my favorite because I love a weird makeover when it's a crystal method and it's like you always do weird and I love seeing you splatter someone else.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you say that because now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like Q does do weird quite often. I mean, she did a white face for the goth look. A white face for the doll.
She's honestly doing whiteface at all times.
Yeah, I mean, well, ha ha ha. But, like, she is someone who I think does toe the line of, like, high fashion and, like,
weird clown.
Cuckoo bananas.
I think that Q does a little bit of club kidding around.
Yeah.
And so I, like, got it. I just was like, oh, I wish we'd seen, like, the glamour side of Q.
Yeah.
Q's also one of those queens. I remember when we had Joel on the first week, he talked about how Q isn't referencing, she's creating reference.
Yeah.
And as the weeks have gone on, I'm like, I wish she would use a little bit more reference in her stuff. Because sometimes I'm just like, oh, I wish that we saw like a high glamour Q next to a high glamour person that was like in some way referencey in a way that wasn't ugly. Because this is also ugly.
It's ugly, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's ugly, but the thing that I think is interesting is that part of the reason why I feel like we're all going like, is this a Q look? Is because I think there's something interesting about being an eclectic queen, but also when you are such an eclectic queen, you do have this moment of, is this what you do? You know what I mean? Because, like, I feel like there's nothing about Q that's particularly signature. Because, like, even with, like, let's say, like, a Sasha Velour, because I wrote down that this reminded me of Sasha Velour for some reason.
It reminds me of the her makeover, actually.
Yeah.
A little bit.
There's something
not
about...
Not as good. Not as good.
Yeah.
But,
how dare you.
But, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, Sasha Velour at this point has a very specific brow. So she could do the very specific brow. Or,
Heck, I think Plain Jane has a really specific paint.
Yeah, but she
that,
did it.
That she, like, very much painted onto her girl.
Yes. Right. But we're getting there.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that, like, I think that, like, even someone like Plain has a really specific face that isn't just feminine pretty.
Yeah.
But moving on, we have the best painter in the competition.
Oh, my.
Morphine and Latina.
But that's, as I say, it's Latina, which I love.
She's Latina.
Why has no one done that name yet? That's such a good name.
You know why it's actually a really good name? Because Tina's a drug reference.
Yes.
And morphine
is a drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. I love this.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. She absolutely fucked up with the proportionizing on this dress.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, it's one of those things where it's that issue that, like, you know what this makeover kind of reminds me of?
Manila Luzon season 3.
Hey, Manila Luzon won that makeover.
No. No, it wasn't
Carmen
Manila. It was
Carrera.
Carmen, thank you.
When she just dressed the biggest man in the competition, in, like, the makeover episode, in just a tiny little string bikini. And it's just like
that works for you, Carmen.
T.S. Madison is correct. She could have used, like, a boa or a shoulder piece. She needed a bigger wig.
Yeah.
I think she honestly should have grabbed that wig she used for power and slapped it on her head.
I think that would have worked.
Yeah.
I honestly
it would have proportionized her so beautifully.
I think it's also one of those things where it's kind of funny because I sometimes think that, like, they think, oh, I have to bring something for the makeover. And it's not to say that she didn't think about, I have to bring something for the makeover. I just think that people forget that not everyone is going to have your proportions. And so if you're just putting your stuff on someone else, you're just kind of not, like, I just think that not everyone goes, oh, right, I'm going to have to do something for the makeover. I don't know what kind of a person I'm going to get. Let me bring a range of things. So that's what I'm trying to say is I don't know where Morphine saw herself in this competition. And if she thought to herself, I might have a big man, let me bring a bigger wig.
I think that in general,
that's what I was trying to say.
I think that we've had a lot of makeovers on women lately.
Yeah.
That's, like, been kind of the thing on Drag Race for the last couple years is the makeover challenge has been women. Mm-hmm. And this dress, like, it is a stretch material. It is fitting this big man.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a tearaway that's really smart and really good. Like, there's so many things about this that make so much sense for Morphine.
Mm-hmm.
There's is the unfortunate thing of, like, oof. If she had just slapped a huge wig on this man's head, it would have solved everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because also the paint is stamped.
Yeah.
He looks beautiful.
That's the problem here, because from the neck up, this is perfection.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're looking at it on Joe's iPad, and I'm certainly the furthest away. And from far away, it looks great.
Oh, it does. It looks fantastic.
It looks, like, I mean, it's when you get up close that you realize that the like, nude illusion on the bust does not match the skin tone.
Well, that's because he has tattoos. Like, there's something just to the fact, but it's not even, like, that's not even the problem. Truly, the biggest problem with this look is that he just looks big up. He looks bulky.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an issue that, like, a lot of queens on Drag Race have.
Yeah.
And just, like, yeah, it didn't flatter him the way it could. He maybe should have been in the red and had the bigger necklace would have helped. Just everything just doesn't work as well as it could,
yeah.
But the face is beautiful.
It absolutely is.
It's one of those things where the face is stunning. It is clearly Morphine's paint adapted on someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to a little bit later, but now we have...
Birds.
We have birds.
Yes.
There are no good shots of the two of these two together.
It's Nymphia and Juanita.
So, his friends call him Juanita as a joke, which is great. I think his name is Jonathan. His name is...
I can't remember.
Hold on,
his name wasn't Juan. I think it was Jonathan. And
Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan.
And John... Juan is Spanish for John.
Yeah.
So bringing it all the way to its natural conclusion, we have Juanita.
Juanita.
And Juanita, they're dressed in Big Bird couture.
I was about to say... I love Juanita's look because it's this interesting purple feather number and it's a beautiful color and the tights are cool. And then you have Nymphia, who I adore. And I understand, you know, yellow is her thing. But, like, why the Big Bird tights? You look like Big Bird in this look.
Because Big Bird is an icon, and Nymphia is an icon.
It's intentional, I feel like.
Yeah, it's definitely an intentional moment.
Big Bird's an icon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually was Googling. I think this might be another Big Bird, because there's Big Birds in, like, 18 countries, and yeah. I think these might be two Big Birds.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive. I didn't have a lot of time to, like, Google, and I couldn't figure out where this might be from, but that is my assumption, is that this is two Big Birds.
Fun fact, okay. In Israel, Big Bird is a hedgehog.
I'm going to be completely honest. As much as I do love me some Sesame Street, I never liked Big Bird.
But, really? I don't like Elmo either. But, like, Big Bird also, like, had a special going to China.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure is actually, like, one of those American references that Nymphia does hold as something she can pull.
Yeah.
And so there is something cool to kind of doing a subtle reference to Big Bird. It's also could be considered a Manila Luzon reference, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, It's good. It's referencing in a way that's not crazy. Mm-hmm. And I really liked this look.
Oh,
and
I love also, this look.
Also, I think it's important to note, this look is the first time that T.S. Madison has seen Nymphia wear yellow on the fucking runway.
I don't know what T.S. Madison was talking about, where she was like, I've seen you several times. You've worn yellow every time.
I'm
like,
she's only
Madison,
seen her once.
No, you haven't. Yeah.
She has seen her a single time. And that single time was the Pussycat runway where she wore red.
Yeah. This,
like, she wore yellow in the challenge
that week. Yeah.
But she wore red on the runway.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to read. Never mind.
I was going to say, are you ready? Are you basically saying
I'm
that T.S. Madison is
right in the parking lot?
No, I thought you were going to say, are you saying that T.S. Madison is being red for filth?
I think that T.S. Madison is being handed line and she read them.
Yes.
It's one of those things where
I'll give you.
It was like, it feels like they had to justify Plain Jane winning for some reason. So they had to ding Nymphia somewhere. And for some reason, even though Plain, I actually went back and looked through all of Plain's runways and performance outfits, and she has worn two different looks in, like, performance challenges that are basically identical to the look she wore on this stage. They're the same silhouette. She has, like, four silhouettes she cycles, and this is the same thing. We're going to get to it, but
yeah.
Plain literally wears basically what she wore when she had to make a runway for the doll challenge. She wears basically what she wore in the Power lip sync. Like, this is a standard silhouette for Plain that she's worn several times, and she is not red for it, and Nymphia is red for wearing a color that is entirely her brand.
Which I loved that Michelle called T.S. Madison add on.
Sure, but Nymphia should have won this week. Anyway.
You and me, but I don't disagree.
It makes no sense to have
two
people with four wins. That's weird.
I can't remember. Did we talk about this on mic or on mic, the curse?
I don't think we talked about it on mic. The curse of having four wins and not winning. We did talk about this on mic because we bleeped a name.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So here's my question. Saphira has four wins. Plain has four wins.
Nymphia supremacy. Anyway, up next on the runway, speaking of Saphira
and Shakira.
This is awful.
I think that Saphira should have. So Saphira famously had a look that she couldn't dance in.
Yeah.
And so she had to figure something out on the day. Mm-hmm. She found an orange corset. She had a Plain let her borrow an orange version of the look that she wore for the dancing.
It was like a Tina Turner number.
Well, it's a Latin ballroom. It's literally just a Latin ballroom outfit that is in orange.
Yeah.
And then she has an orange skirt with a blue peplum, and then she made orange gloves.
Yes.
And the gloves should have been blue to match the peplum.
Yes.
And both sets should have been. They look nothing alike. Not even the paint looks similar.
No.
She looks beautiful, though, from the neck up.
Oh, I mean,
Kahana has never looked better.
Yeah. Like, very funny.
No, she looks so much like specifically Kahana.
I see it.
That's it.
Specifically Kahana. Season 11, episode 2, The Zodiac Runway, where she's in the orange look.
Mm-hmm. Such a deep cut.
It looks so much like that.
I saw her and I was like, she looks like someone beautiful.
She looks like
someone.
But she looks like Kahana specifically pre-surgery. Yeah.
Also, she should have put a breastplate on her.
No, yeah.
Absolutely.
Saphira does breastplate, so she should have put a breastplate on her. She just probably didn't
have one. At least chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
She probably didn't have a breastplate that would have... She probably does bigger breastplates that, like, are strapped. And so she probably just didn't have one in her shade.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they don't give those. But she's also wearing her, like, dancing shoes, and she hasn't covered them. So she's wearing black shoes, and her daughter's wearing, like, white shoes.
Doesn't match. Nothing matches.
They're trying to. This. I will say, well, the thing I liked about Nymphia is they had a characterization on the runway.
Yeah.
They had a reveal they did together. They flapped their wings like birds.
Silly beaks.
They're trying to do that here, where it's, like, Saphira's playing mother, and she's, like, ordering her little daughter around. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work super well. But the face is beat.
The face is...
It just doesn't look anything like Saphira's face.
Yeah, no. I was gonna say, the neck up, like, the face, the hair, I love everything. Like, it's just very interesting because there's something very, like, you are a boy in a dress in that look.
But, like, a hot boy.
A really fucking hot boy. Dress. Like, it's...
A hot boy in beautiful makeup.
A hot boy in a hot dress.
Like, it's... There is something so goddamn sexy about... this look on him, like, it's just so, like,
but it fails.
Sorry,
the brief.
I, it's, but it failed really to read. Fails it, the it, brief. It didn't, sorry, my mouth is watering. It didn't, it wasn't the challenge.
No. And then finally we have Plain Jane and her daughter, Goffy Kendall.
Two homosexuals with one brain. So, I actually think this is a wonderful, wonderful job that Plain has done.
So, there's a few things I have problems with that I want to really get to, but please, I'll let you give a compliments first.
Yes. Oh, wow. I'm actually the nice one for once. So, I feel like Plain, who has a very distinct brow and a very distinct eye, has translated this onto another person very well. She's also done that thing where the face, neck, and legs are all completely different shades, but...
The signature Plain look.
It's a signature Plain look. I will say this bodysuit fits Lazy Susan, which is a good name. I'm not going to knock it, but it's not that good. Rue, come on. I think I just think she looks amazing. I think... I don't want Plain to have four wins. She doesn't deserve four wins. This should have been Nymphia's week. But this is a really good showing for Plain.
Okay.
Now, tell me how I'm fucking wrong.
Now I'm going to tear this apart. Okay, I fucking hate when it's just the exact same look twice. I think it's really boring. I think it's uninteresting. And I think it shows a lack of worldview and a lack of taste. I think that the fact that we've literally seen Plain wear this exact same look 87 times, absolutely boring. This is one of her signature silhouettes, and she still hasn't figured out how to do the wig line on a hair that has been pulled back. So it just looks a little crunchy. I think that I actually disagree with you. I think that if you look, there are parts of Gothy Kendall's face here, who we're calling Lazy for some reason, that look just a little wrong. There's a weird thing happening on her chin that is Plain fixing her own chin and doing it on a face that doesn't need it. That just makes it look like she's wearing a little bit of a mask that is just, like, incorrect. It looks like she just stamped her face onto someone else's, which is nice. It's the challenge. Also, and I think this just needs to be said, Plain is stuffing her own tits and not stuffing her sister's tits, so the garment fits less well on Lacey. There are just so many little details that are wrong here, and also, I think that Lacey's wig is ugly. I think that the blonde is the wrong color. It just happens that she has literally the exact same outfits with literally crisscrossed wigs. It's boring. It's uninteresting. I hate this. And we've literally had girls lip sync and go home for doing exact same runway at this point. But anyway, she's the Rebecca Glasscock of this competition, and she's going to serve Princess Poopy.
Wow, Joe. I don't think you've ever told us how you felt before.
Wow, that is that. Thank you for being so vulnerable.
Sorry, I just... I hate the makeover episode. I do not like this makeover.
Oh, no,
None of us like the makeover episode.
No. Joe, like, I don't think you understand how much me and David understand that you fucking hate this episode. Because every season, there's the makeover challenge. Like, okay.
Here we go.
I just find
let's take the shots.
I find them uninteresting. It's one of those things where it's like, I find them uninteresting. I find the judging inconsistent. And the fact that the judging is so inconsistent. And I will say this. Look, I went back through it, and I looked at every fucking makeover that's ever fucking happened. And you know what? I think there's, like, four that I've ever agreed were the best makeovers of the week.
Okay, well,
like, it just... they always happen late enough in the season. They're just being used to pad people's wins. And for some reason, we decided that Plain needed a fourth win, which, like, she actually should have, like, there's a level of, like, I agree with 2 to 3 of her wins. This one, it's like, because Nymphia didn't win your first week, you give her the win now.
Yeah.
She needs momentum going into the next week, which is, for some reason, a mini challenge we've already done. Next week is just a book cover photo shoot.
I know.
Which we've done as a mini challenge this season.
What the fuck? Oh,
there's also going to be, like, something with Matt Rogers.
Cool.
Good for her.
Anyway,
do you have opinions about Plain?
Yeah, maybe one or two. I will say that.
Oh, I also think that Plain Jane was.
Oh my god, Joe!
I also think that she was outshined by her daughter during the dancing challenge, which is literally a thing that girls have been dinged for before. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm
gonna shove a sock in your mouth. Let Joe, David speak.
No, I enjoyed going to Joe's TED Talk.
Anyway, we retired.
Actually, no, wait.
We retired the toxic fan zone, but I did just step in there for a beat.
Well, I think that this was actually like your TED for filth. Talk.
Ooh, that was good.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Nope. Joe's leaving. Joe's abandoning us. I don't blame them. We love you. So, David, what were your thoughts on Plain's look?
I must agree with Joe that I do hate the fact that it was the same outfit just twice. Like, there was nothing interesting about it. It was, oh my god, I'm sorry, I can't concentrate
right now. Hear this, but Joe is guffawing in the other room.
Oh my god. Anyway, I'm making that shirt.
Ted for filth.
Okay.
Ted for filth talk.
Filth talk. Yeah. Ted talk logo, but for filth just in the middle. Like lipstick. Thank you.
Good one.
I expect it on my desk by morning.
Let us know online if you want that merch. I feel like we could do that one.
Anyways. I agree that it was like it's funny that her name was Lazy Susan because it was a lazy makeover look. It was the same outfit twice. Like there was agreed. They're like, it could have been
one of them could have been pants and one of them could have had the chaps.
No, it could have been that, but it could have just been inverse colors and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Because, like, the wigs were inverse colors. It just was a very uninteresting look. And I don't love it and I don't hate it. I'm just looking to see if there's anything else that I said about it. No, really just, like, I mean, really my only note is she looks like Gothy Kendall. And it's just very
look, they wanted
fine.
To finally give Gothy a win.
No, they didn't. They'll never give Gothy a win.
So here's the thing. I personally think that the biggest reason why I'm mad that Nymphia didn't win this personally is that Nymphia's runways were both the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
They had different beaks. They had different wigs. The way that she painted was the exact same, but fully taking her makeover contestant's face into consideration. And the bottoms of the dresses were entirely different in ways that were cool and interesting. Both of those looks could have been a runway in a real season.
Absolutely.
Whereas if Plain Jane walked out in this as her runway, I mean, RuPaul would love it because he's contractually obligated to love everything Plain Jane does this season at this point. But like,
it's really weird.
Yeah. There is no universe where this could walk down the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race and be considered a good runway. Unless it was a UK season where they're not winning money.
I mean, I don't know. It was just like very, like, I mean, but herein lies the situation where you have Plain, who's someone who's recently done drag, and you have Nymphia, who's a racehorse.
I mean, here's my problem, is that this runway, the caliber of this outfit as a main stage runway, to me, is Jujubee with snakes.
Fair.
Anyway, they get into the dancing portion, which doesn't matter. Q fully misses a spin that her partner does, but they don't bring it up. They're like, you found choreography that Q could do. Good job. We have Nymph. I think that Nymphia should have let her her partner do more tricks.
Yeah.
Similar to what Plain did, because they do a lot of, like, it feels very, like, Vogue-y. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of, like, whacking. Then we get Saphira and her partner just do all of the moves that you do in a standard lip sync.
Yep.
Like, it's like body roll. That thing they did when they said BFF necklace in the Come Through music video. And then, like, three other moves that are just standard. And, like, in fairness, when they were choreographing this, he was like, let's do the electric slide here.
Yeah.
Woogie, woogie, woogie.
Which is very funny. Yeah. We have Morphine's drag daughter not taking off the skirt properly, which she does get dinged for, which
yeah,
feels sure. shitty. And then we have Plain Jane doing half as much choreo as her daughter, because her daughter does, like, the rest of it.
Yeah.
While she stands and poses, which was smart. But Jackie Cox did get noted for that in season 12. That's my problem, is that Every single makeover is judged so differently that I can point to all of the places
oh, yeah.
where people, like, Lucy got noted for having too much family resemblance last season,
mm-hmm.
which is still insane to me.
I always say, like, what the fuck does family resemblance mean? What is your standard for family resemblance? It's really just, like, you know, it's just, as you said, it's the hip padding of the season. It's who do we want to give another rose too.
It's one of those things, and it's one of those things where a lot of my favorite makeovers of all time lost because they had to give a win to somebody who they were padding.
Yeah.
Like, there's a level of, we all talk about, like, Sasha Velour is a really good example. When Sasha yeah. Velour lost the makeover, a friend I was watching it with went, why would they not give her that win? It was so clearly hers. And I went, because she's not the winner of this season, so they aren't going to give her the win. When Crystal Method lost the makeover, she's not the winner of this season, they're not going to give her a win right now.
Yeah. Like,
and it's frustrating because these are contestants who like radically did incredible makeovers that still, like, I didn't write those down. Those are just literally
off the top of your head,
live in my head rent free. I think the only makeover that was the best makeover and won, maybe of all time, there's two. There was Candy in this last season,
okay,
which was just undeniable, and then there was, I think, the even more undeniable one, which was Naomi Smalls.
I disagree. There's another one, but you and I disagree on this one.
Which one?
It's Simone and Utica.
Because
you thought that it should have gone to Candy and Mick.
I personally didn't love what Simone did to Utica, but I really liked what you... It's one of those things where I think there was a lack of balance, and I just really liked Candy and Mick. I also thought Candy and Mick just had more work. I think also they should go back to having them be forced to sew during makeovers.
I agree.
I agree with that.
Fun. But they did have a lot of design challenges this season.
They certainly but, like, have.
Can you imagine what Nymphia would have made?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
But it's also what... Okay, here's... Well, not even, because Q's phenomenal. I was going to say, if let's say, like...
Like, all four of our top five have placed in the top in sewing
competition. Yeah, I was going to say, if let's say Morphine... Like, let's say last week we switch it that it was a difference. It was a Kate Bush song and Morphine won and...
Do you mean Dawn?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Damn.
It was a Kate Bush song or... Little Bird by Annie Lennox.
It was Superstition by Raven Simonier.
Exactly. And Dawn won and Morphine went home and they had to sew this week. The looks we would have got from those four queens.
And Plain.
Yes.
Plain would have made these exact same looks as bodysuits.
Yeah. Because exactly.
That's what she's made in every sewing challenge. Again, it's the problem of, like, when you're...
Branding, Joe.
But it's similar to, like... I don't know. It's similar to, like, my opinions of Anitra last season where, oh, she wears truly so many of her runways are adorned bodysuits. And it's wild that a lot of the time that can get you sent home,
mm-hmm.
except for when they like you and that it's like, oh my God, it's a signature look. I love this.
Yeah.
And I'm just bored. Anyway, we get into the judging and T.S. Madison is wrong about Nymphia Wind. Anything else happened in the judging that we cared about?
Not really.
Yes.
I did actually really like the way that the girl talked about, that one lady talked about the
Kelsey
queens.
Ballerini?
Yeah. I like that.
I think my favorite thing, which I will now be putting into my everyday vernacular, is something that Saphira said. Which is, it is what it is. Diana Ross was in The Wiz.
I also think that there is there's an interesting moment where Michelle says to Safira, this is a challenge you can't stand there and talk your way out of. Which I think is really interesting because I'm curious if that is something that Safira has done in this competition. Or if, like, if there's something we haven't seen that has been a moment where, like, she talked her way into a win or talked her way into something else or, like, talked her way out of the bottom or something, which I can't imagine she would have.
Do you know what it is?
What? Is that how she beat Q?
What?
Is that how she beat Q?
No, I was going to say it's not the talking out of the challenge she's used to, Rue.
I get it. It's a makeover episode.
My favorite running joke. I'm just so bored at this point because it's so obvious.
I think the thing that's weird about this season is it started off so exciting of like, here's the weird thing. I still have no fucking idea who's winning.
Me neither.
But I've known who was going home pretty much every week to week.
We know our top four.
Yeah.
Like we've known the top four for a while now, and there have been no surprises until next week when Safira gets sent home and it's a top three.
You are an evil fucking twunk. You are evil. You are a monster.
Anyway,
you're a non-binary menace.
I actually hope we get a top three. I hope there's an elimination next week.
Oh, you guys are
anyways. I love
Pluck, Tucked, and Totally Fucked.
I don't, you know why I love the idea of an elimination next week?
Because you're a sadist?
Because how are you gonna lip sync for the crown with three queens?
Ooh. Anyways, our bottom two are Safira and Morphine.
Wait, you said there was something that happened in Untucked that was interesting, right?
Oh yeah.
I don't believe you.
Hold on, I wrote it down on my phone, weirdly.
I do not believe.
Those are the serial killer notes I'm used to, David.
Yeah, I get it. I did something different.
Get it, it's a phone.
Yeah. Honey Davenport did a video message for Safira, because apparently they are besties.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Aw, honey.
So it was a very sweet little moment.
Honey.
How he thrills me. Uh-huh. Honey.
Remember when Honey Davenport came back for a makeover episode and just was like, the entire narrative of them coming back was just that they were hot with a beard.
Yes.
I mean, they are. Honey Davenport fascinates me because she is a huge name in, like, drag, but not in Drag Race.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that the interesting part was that, and similar to what I was saying last week with Mayan Lopez, Kelsey Ballerini comes backstage and she kind of brings the excitement, which makes them excited to talk to her. And then when they're like, okay, we're coming, like multiple queens are like, no, ignore him. We want to keep talking to her because she actually like the thing that they say is they're like, so many people claim that there are allies, but you're doing the work, like you're walking the walk.
Yeah. She does.
And you're
thing.
Really doing the thing.
There are a lot of very big pop stars who do not bring drag queens on stage.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like that's actually a big thing that about Madonna's current tour is that she brought ballroom performers and drag queens on stage. In a stadium tour.
Yeah.
Which is actually just Madonna paying reparations for stealing Vogueing.
Amen. But, I mean, I'll say this. I think that it's kind
We're
of, it's definitely interesting to me for like people who are, I won't name names, but people who are like big pop stars in the gay community who don't do as much for the community. And then people who are like lesser names that are actually doing like quite a bit and bringing drag queens on stage.
And then you have someone like Meghan Trainor stealing Shea Coulee's sandwich.
Well, she's all about the bread, no treble.
Oh, God.
I do love that Shea had to apologize, being like, I made that up because I thought it was funny and I didn't know it would get out.
I didn't know it'd be a thing.
But anyway, we finally get to the lip sync. The song is I Miss Me More by Kelsey Ballerini.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this song. Oh, the winner of this week is Plain Jane.
Who cares?
I don't agree with the winner of the lip sync.
Me neither. I fully watched Safira lose that lip sync.
So I think that there's something really interesting. I have a feeling that Safira's style of lip syncing doesn't read particularly well on television, but is hilarious in person.
Absolutely.
But I don't love that basically all three of her lip syncs have been kind of the same vibe, which are I start out slow and I'm kind of talking out the side of my mouth. I get a little bit bigger. I eventually start doing some like moderate tricks that I do a little bit sloppy. The one moment that I did love was when she popped up from like her knees onto her feet and then just like bounced. I was like, oh, that was fucking sexy. But I was like, I also thought she didn't get the tone of the song super well. Like, I think this is a song that's like a lot very not, that's like, I guess I'm sad about this breakup, but I'm happy to have me back. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she dwelled a little bit too much in the sadness, where like Morphine really played into the like joy of refinding yourself in a breakup.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, God, they're so polite.
Yeah, we're awful. The whole thing about it is just Morphine is doing this song not only like vibes correctly, she is delivering every fucking step, and she's doing it flawlessly.
This is her fifth lip sync on the show.
She's lip synced four times.
This is her fourth lip sync for her life.
Oh, okay.
She's her fifth lip sync.
Okay.
Wait, am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, you are. This was her fifth lip sync, and she is still just like, I am going to fight. And she does such a good job, and I really feel like she outshines Safira in this lip sync.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I also just think there's like a weird...
Oh. I was going to say, going to Joe's point of possibly her lip syncs just not reading that well on television, the one thing that I will say that people often I don't think that anyone forgets it. It's just kind of the thing that's sort of like... the fun of the dueling lip sync, which has now been appropriated by straight culture, is that it's fun when you're actually doing stuff that is a duel. And I feel like sometimes with the lip sync for your life on this, it's not always a duel because, as you said, if you have a very specific style of lip syncing, then like if you're going to a club and you're seeing a queen lip sync, you're just watching them. You're not watching anything else.
And you're watching something that they chose to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like Morgan McMichaels, it's always a tight lip sync.
Yeah. Oh, so
funny. And it's good. Like, and I've seen her do songs that you don't really trick to or whatever, but she's lip syncing so perfectly. So I think it's just one of those things where it's like, as you're saying, like with Safira, if you have to kind of do a three-way cut, for lack of a better term, meaning it's Safira, the judges, Morphine again, Safira, the judges, Safira again. You know, you're not getting the whole story, so to speak. You never need an untouch away, for the lip sync.
Never cut away from whole. Got it. But I also think there's a weird level of like, I also think that Morphine just has a really specific degree of musicality that I am really drawn towards, which is like, there's a lot of points when, like, Safira and her drop into splits at, like, slightly different times at around the same point.
Yeah.
And Morphine's is always at the more correct point. At the same time, Safira's a great lip syncer. I'm glad she didn't go home.
Oh, I didn't want Safira to go home. I just wanted this to be a... you both stay.
Double Shantae?
Yeah, keep them both.
No, don't give me a double Shantae this late. Give me a top three. Why are you trying to kill my dreams, Pope?
I mean, you could still have a double Shantae and a top three.
Well, if you want to see if we get a top three, make sure to tune in next week. You can follow us at This Toxic Fandom. Stephen Pope is at Pro Hava Pope. David Gorin is at David J. Gorin. And I'm at Jolie Green Giant.
And if you like us, tell a friend. If you really like us, tell a friend with benefits. And if you think we're just okay, tell someone that you top three'd in a three-way.
And if you've been in a three-way, make sure to tell your favorite Eiffel Tower stories in a 5-star rating and a review and on Apple Podcasts. And until next time,
stay toxic.
Well, it could have been a wobbly H.
Oh my God, I'm going home. I'm going home. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.